Well now, here's the thing. I haven't done this for a little while. Welcome to Community Corner. My name's Tim Moore and you are listening to Roach Valley Radio on a Saturday afternoon. It's a great pleasure to be here and to be broadcasting again. I haven't done this show for a long time. My first guest on Community Corner, and it's a great pleasure for this person to be my first guest, is Julie Bentley, who is now a social prescribing link worker for Bury VCFA. We first met when Julie was working with Ambition for Ageing, but she's moved on since then, and she's my first guest back on Community Corner. Hi, Julie.
Hi, Tim. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you very much. Good. I'm over the moon to be doing this, I'll tell you what.
This is amazing.
I know. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. It's for having me.
Well, you know what? It's been a long time coming. So if I'm a little bit like the work experience guy and I'm sort of fiddling around with a load of things while you're talking to me, then you will be... Sorry, I'm just getting looked at by the producer. Can you hear me all right? sorry. This may be a little bit ramshackle to start with. Right, so let's begin the show. Bury VCFA. Bury VCFA are a... The work they do within Bury is to enhance local community and voluntary action groups by developing the capacity of voluntary community, faith and social enterprises. They've been doing this for a long time. Roach Valley Radio have a long and storied history with the VCFA through, you know, they do lots and lots of things. But what we're here to talk about particularly today is the Beacon Social Prescribing, which is where Julie comes in. So... I suppose the best place to start, Julie, would be people have maybe heard of this. I know it comes under quite a few different names. Why don't you tell us what the core of social prescribing is?
So essentially, social prescribing is to help people access community and voluntary activities, which will help improve their health and well-being. So it's a way for GPs, other health professionals, or individuals themselves to be able to refer in and access that help, to work on breaking down any barriers that people may have to accessing services or groups, to just find out where those services and organisations and groups are, and to make sure they best match the individual so the individual has the best chance of improving their health and well-being.
Well, now there is a fantastic amount of research out there about social prescribing and about how it alleviates stress on the NHS. Because what you end up doing is making sure that people are getting to the needs that they have faster, you know, without going through five different stops first. And at the moment, that's never been more important, has it?
Totally. It's, you know, now more than ever, people being able to access things, what are going on, what can help them immediately is amazing. So we work with a lot of people who have mental health conditions, long-term health conditions, loneliness, isolation, helping them access other things other than their GP. Non-clinical, so we don't work at all on anything clinical, but it works alongside clinical needs. So, you know, if people want to get outside, be more active, and we work along the lines of doing things what people want to do. So, for example, I'm working with a gentleman at the moment who for a long time has been told to go to a gym, go and get active, do some exercise. He's been told of lots of gyms and lots of places to go. He doesn't want to go to a gym. And that's where social prescribing fits in. I'm there with him. He doesn't want to go to a gym. But what he does know is that he needs to get more active. What he's now doing is he's engaging with one of the Green Social Prescribing Group, which is led by Lancashire Wildlife Trust. He's doing a lot of things outdoors. He's walking in the park. He's going, doing activities in the park, planting, cutting things down, building things. So his activity levels have gone right up.
Through the roof.
And of course, he's also talking to people and meeting other people. Health and well-being improved overall.
So green social prescribing then, so that is specifically around, you see, the thing that I always, this social prescribing thing maybe comes to the surface every now and again. There seems to be like an ebb and a flow about it. There's a great deal of publicity and then it maybe goes away a little bit, and then there'll be some fantastic GP based somewhere who has prescribed an hour walk at lunchtime for a particular patient, and it's got them off antidepressants or something, and then there's a focus back on it. Is it something that's developing all the time?
Yeah, I mean, it's changing constantly. Green social prescribing has been around for a long time. There's also now talk of blue social prescribing, which people talk about. And quite simply, green social prescribing is engaging with nature, getting outside in the local parks, and engaging with nature in whatever that is. Blue social prescribing is doing exactly that, but near water.
Oh, wow, right, okay.
So it's the same sort of thing. And, yeah, you know, there's loads of different stories of people that have stopped taking antidepressants or didn't want to take antidepressants, but through engaging have become much better in themselves. So,
and it's not just, we should make it clear, shouldn't we? It's not just for that particular group of people who are going through mental health needs. Like you said, there are people who need physical exercise.
Yeah.
But like you said, don't... Gyms can be intimidating places, can't they?
They can.
Especially
they
if you're not, you know, if you've never been in one before, or if, you know, there's a particular cultural reason maybe that you don't want to do it, you know. So just the idea of being able to go out there and, in, you know, in its simplest terms, pick some apples, move some logs around.
And that's what social prescribing is about. It's about all of those people. And if we take the gym as an example, there are many, many reasons why people don't want to go to a gym, from what they look like, what they perhaps think they will be made to feel like. So many reasons. Wanting something smaller, female-only gyms, male-only gyms, all sorts of different things. And I think through social prescribing, what we do is we connect with that person, we give that person a huge amount of time, however much time they need, to talk about what it is they want to do. It's not about saying, yep, there's that gym down the road and they have a women's only session. It's what sort of session do you want?
What is it you want to do?
And how do we make that happen? Because we all know how many of us have had a gym membership and gone a few times and waited a few months before you eventually cancel it.
It's like that Friends episode, isn't it? I want to quit the gym.
But I think through social prescribing, you can actually find something you like to do.
Yeah.
And by connecting with that thing that you like to do, you will do it inevitably for longer.
And so, a whole world opens up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about.
Right, okay, we're going to come back with Juliet in a little, in 2 songs' time. We're just going to break for some music. When we come back, we're going to discuss about the different groups that Julie can put you in touch with, the way that the Beacon fits in with the VCFA, what it involves, how you get referred to the service, and everything like that. So it is 1:15 on Saturday afternoon. You're listening to the first Community Corner back of 2021. Thank you very much for joining us. This is Roche Valley Radio.
Your number one local radio station.
It's the best local station.
This is Roche Valley Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen.
And we're back. This is Community Corner on Roche Valley Radio. It's 1:25 on Saturday afternoon. I'm joined by Julie Bentley, one of the social prescribing link workers from Bury VCFA. Hi, Julie.
Hiya.
We should say, shouldn't we? We should give a shout out to the rest of the team of the link
we
workers.
We definitely
who are
should.
Out there.
Yeah, we should. They're all
just
fantastic.
Just because you've been thrown in at the deep end on a Saturday afternoon.
So yeah, there's link workers for each area. So I cover the Prestwich area. Paul covers Whitefield, Rebecca covers Radcliffe, Tracy covers Bury West, and Nassim covers Bury East, and Rosemary covers Bury North.
Well done. She did all of that off the top of her head,
we're all
ladies
led
and gentlemen.
By our manager, John.
are we going to give John a shout out? Because, you know, he was... No? Right, okay. John, I'll tell you what, you've burnt some bridges this morning, mate. You really have. So, you and the rest of the team of the link workers, you use your local knowledge to make connections to activities that
we do, yeah.
That match these individuals to their needs and their interests, whether or not that's socialising or physical exercise. One of the things that we were just talking about off air was that if a GP contacts you and says, I've got this patient, the first thing that you have to do is make sure that that particular person is going to buy into what it is that you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Is that getting easier?
Sometimes I think it's what the conversation is. It's explaining what the service is, so people don't have to access it immediately if they're not ready to. For example, they can put that service on hold for a while if they're accessing another service. The key with social prescribing is that somebody wants to engage with things, wants to do something. And it doesn't necessarily have to be engaging with something as a group. It could be that somebody is engaging with something on their own, and, you know, there's walks, for example, there's loads of self-led walks that people can go and do. So yeah, sometimes
every park in Bury's got a led walk at the moment, haven't they?
Yeah, and it's about finding out what people want and going through that process with them.
So what do you develop a plan, a well-being plan?
We develop a support plan or a well-being plan, an action plan, whatever people want to call it, of what people want to do and how they want to get there. So it's kind of a, you know, where would you like to be? What's your blue sky in all of this? And how are we going to get you there? Because barriers can be health issues, and they can be quite complex. So it could be that someone's referred to us and at that time it's not right for them, but we may refer them onto a service that can help with their needs, and we will then pick them up at the end of that time, see where they're up to then, and work with them from that point. But that would be form part of their support plan. It's around how. So if someone is looking in an ideal world to volunteer, but they're a long way from that, they've not been out for a long time, they want to go out, we're looking at transport. More so than ever now, people are still very, very concerned about going on public transport. So what's on your doorstep? What can we engage that person with? And what is their interest? And once we've found out those things and what that person wants to achieve, then we can move forward with the whole support plan too.
And you've got to be flexible at all stages, haven't you? Because yes, all of this is totally going to be daunting for the individual involved.
And also it can change. So you can have one conversation and somebody will sort of, you know, very much tell you that they want to engage in something that will help them lose weight, get more active. But the reality of the situation, three calls down the line, what you're actually discovering is actually what they need to do is find more family orientated activities, because they're not doing anything together as a family and they need to find those things on those days. And that's what actually makes the difference. Or they're caring for a parent and they need support around the caring responsibilities that they've got. So you find out a whole host of things, because we have sort of 6 to 12 contacts with people over the amount of time we work with them. So things change along the way, or other things come up, and we can pick those up and address them along the way. So when people have got issues with their children in schools, for example, you know, we know that best will in the world, you can think you're on your health plan and you're doing your exercise and all of that, and something comes in from the side, be it a parent or a child, or something happens that knocks you off track again. So it's about keeping people on track and really finding out how to engage them into things that will benefit them.
And you've got, it's right, you've got 1,200 charitable groups that you work with across Bury. Is that right?
I believe there are, I couldn't tell you how many are on the database, but yeah, I mean, there's a massive a number of community, voluntary groups, charities, etc. across Bury. That number probably came pre-lockdown, and we're still putting together how many have reformed, have come back, have started again, have merged together in some cases.
But my point in bringing that number up...
An amazing number of groups out there that people really don't know about, and for whatever reason. So it's about getting all of that out there, because how are people working together? And at the moment, we're doing a piece with the Green Social Prescribing Project, which is about finding out where those green groups are and creating a network so that people know. Incredible Edible, the Environmental Forum in Prestwich, Friends of Phillips Park.
The apples
There's
that we were
so
talking
many,
about. So many,
you know.
Yeah.
Lancashire Wildlife Trust have got their activities up there as well. There's so many things going on.
Yeah.
But what time are they going on?
Yeah.
Can you just turn up? What do you do when you get there? Will you get on with the people that are there? Who's there? You know, there's such a whole host of things within each group.
When you say it like that, it's like a spider's web, isn't it?
Yeah.
The amount of things you've got to consider
Massive.
Before you
yeah.
say, right, okay, this
yeah.
is for you.
And will somebody fit?
Yeah.
You know, will they fit with the group? Because the worst thing for me, there's, you know, would be, and we have people who've done it, you know, they've turned up to community groups that have been closed.
Yeah.
They've turned up to community groups that haven't restarted. They've turned up to community groups where they just don't fit.
Yeah.
And it is about going, well, where can we make that happen? How do we make that happen? Who do we put where? We take people to groups as well. It's a very short-term process because obviously social prescribing is a long-term, empowering people to do things, but we can take people to groups and do those introductions, make sure people are happy, make sure people are comfortable, and work very closely with the community groups to make sure they're okay as well, because there are number restrictions.
Yeah.
There are space restrictions sometimes. There is a limited amount of time that's available. And, you know, it's a high expectation of a community group to just sort of...
To take a newcomer in.
To take a new person on, but also, you know, if they are at capacity... Because of the size of the building, it's not just down to COVID and social isolation and social distancing. It could well be that somebody is just restricted by numbers. What do we do at that point?
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to take a break. We'll be back after a couple of tunes and the weather, which, looking out the windows, isn't actually that bad at the moment. This is Roche Valley Radio, and you're listening to Community Corner.
Call Roche Valley Radio now, 0161 764 9200.
Mostly dry this afternoon, but fairly cloudy, just the occasional sunshine at times. Turning windier later, bringing more showers. Temperatures of 14 degrees Celsius.
See what's happening in your local area. Head to rochevalleyradio.com.
Oh no, there we go, that's better. Welcome back to the Community Corner. My name's Tim Moore. You're listening to Roche Valley Radio at 1:38 on a Saturday afternoon. I've been talking to Julie Bentley, one of the social prescribing link workers from Bury VCFA. One of the things that we were just talking about off air, while they were telling us about what a dismal day it's about to turn into, was how much your service has grown. You were saying it's doubled during lockdown. So, you know, sort of March last year, if you take us back there, you were a relatively small part of the VCFA,
mm-hmm.
but it's expanded.
Yeah. So there was the manager and three link workers at the time, and now we have, I'm not going to count, but six, I think, and a manager and assistant manager. So yeah, we've grown a lot in lockdown, which has been fantastic.
And one of the things, you know, I briefly touched on it before, but, you know, there is now the evidence for social prescribing. GP consultations get reduced by 28%. A&E attendances get reduced by 24% in areas that have social prescribing services. It's obviously been incredibly difficult to keep this going throughout lockdown. So what does post-COVID social prescribing look like? Has it changed a lot? Is it back? What's going to happen over the next 6 months?
So now we're, you know, as everything started to open up again, and we've got the community groups back out there, charity organisations, services and organisations are starting much more to run as they did pre-COVID lockdowns. And I think it's now about connecting with those groups, organisations to work with them to build on the social prescribing. Obviously, you know, we worked throughout COVID, as did many other services and organisations, but it was very different because people were working from home, people were doing meetings on Zoom and Teams, so many other different ways of interacting with people. And some, you know, are going to carry on, which is great. So there's a whole new access to things as well. What we do is we work really closely with groups and make sure they've got the right support in place, because we know it's not been easy for anyone coming out of COVID. And are we social distancing? Do people still want to wear masks? What are people doing? There's new guidance at the moment floating around, if you are listening to the press, of whether things will change again. And all of that creates a lot of uncertainty. So to work closely with the community groups to make sure that we're doing what they can cope with and they can work with is huge, because, you know, there's enough pressure out there without any more. But getting those groups back up and running and making sure they feel supported to take new people, but also to support the people that are there. So some of our role does involve working with community groups and doing group sessions with people, so that people can access the services as an early intervention. Maybe they're not seeing their GP as much, and don't have the need to, but building on that already to sort of talk to people about what they've done. One of the most interesting groups I did just pre-many of the restrictions stopping was a group of people who were very, very worried about going back to their usual Pilates group in Prestwich for many reasons of not done any exercise for 12 months, not worn any shoes other than a pair of trainers. And there's, you know, there's the lady who put a pair of heels on and promptly went over and nearly broke her ankle.
Sorry, I should
have. How do we do all of those things? So to work with the group and actually be able to listen to people's concerns and work on people's concerns and, you know, explain to people we're all going back to groups. Maybe some people more than others are going back to exercise groups who haven't been as active as they were before. So there's a lot of confidence building for people as well.
From both sides of it, I suppose.
Yeah, from both sides, and connecting those people through group sessions, yeah, where they can have that conversation. And, you know, somebody can say, yep, I didn't want to do that. And you connect those people together through the group sessions has been key. And one of the things we're looking at now is starting up social sessions for people that we're working with to be able to come to those, because they're invaluable to connect with another person who has done the same things as what you've done, whether it's been really fed up, whether it's put weight on, whether it's not done as much exercise, whether it's struggled with family members, children, whatever it is, you get a group and everyone has their own COVID story to tell.
Well, this is it. I mean, I don't know anybody who hasn't gone through the last 2 years without having a bit of a wobble. You know, yeah. I've had one. But until you actually say to somebody else, I'll tell you what, January was hard work, wasn't it? Then and somebody else looks at you and goes, I feel that, yeah.
And I think that is the key, isn't it? It's that thing. And like we spoke about it before, didn't we? And January, January was the worst bit of the lockdown. And it's kind of that understanding straight away of, for both of us, potentially January was the worst part of lockdown, and for so many other people. So the social aspects of that and bringing people back together has been amazing.
So listen, if you are a community group who wants to get involved with the service, you know, by the sounds of it, there aren't many that aren't. But if there is one, how do they do it? Is there a certain, do you sort of have to go and vet them, that sounds horrible, but do you have to sort of meet them and see whether or not it's something that you can...
We go and have a chat with them, see where they're up to, see what sort of things they've got in place. And being part of the VCFA means we can help people if they want to get different things in place. So you can have your unconstituted groups who don't necessarily need things in place, but what is there? You know, what do people do if somebody comes with a safeguarding issue, for example? And how do people deal with that? And going all the way through the VCFA process, you can set up safeguarding policies, you can set up all sorts of different policies, volunteer policies. Do you need them? Do you not need them? What does that mean to the group, the organisation? Obviously, if you're a charity organisation and registered, then you do need them. But not all groups need all of those things, but it's having that awareness, and that's where sort of the VCFA fits in, because we can work with people on the development of their group. Any further development, we can work with people on funding. So we have Neil and Hemera and Sally who work on funding and development of groups.
Highlight my week, Neil's email. This is where the money is.
and Tony and Luke who work with volunteers and have set up a fantastic volunteer bank with the ability to access loads of volunteering opportunities. And it is about that whole working together and not vetting a group isn't the right word.
But it is
about how do you make sure that works? How do we make sure that works? How does the group feel safe? And giving that support. So I suppose more than vetting, it's about supporting.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So we can offer that support to groups that we know about. And we can make sure they've got the things that they need in place. And we have done that, you know, throughout lockdown. We've had varying community groups who've rang up asking for advice on issues that they've had from members of their own groups.
All the way through. Listen, we're going to break for Elton John. Saturday night's all right for fighting. Roche Valley Radio doesn't condone violence in any way. And we will be back after this to finish off our chat with Julie.
The best music for Bury and Rochdale.
I love it.
This is Roche Valley Radio.
Welcome back. You're listening to Community Corner on Roche Valley Radio. My name's Tim Moore. I've been chatting to Julie Bentley for the last 60 minutes, which has gone absolutely nowhere. I told you
what. At all. Nowhere.
I know. Honestly, five to one, Julie was sat there going, I don't know what I'm going to talk about for an hour. I'm like, trust me, everybody says that. It's been really nice to have you in as my first show back. Thank you very much.
It's been fantastic. It's been lovely to see you all as well.
Well, yeah, no, it's nice to have somebody else in the building that isn't Dave. Don't get me wrong, I love him, you know, but it's nice to have somebody else in. So I suppose we should finish off with a little bit of housekeeping. If somebody is listening to this and they think, do you know what? I need to try something. I need to do something different. I suppose the first thing is you need to be a Bury resident who's registered with a GP, right?
You do, yeah. You need to be anyone over 18 who's registered with a Bury GP.
So somebody's registered with a Bury GP. They go in, book an appointment, go and see their GP and say, I've got this. They will probably know their GP anyway if they're at this sort of stage. Is it something that the GP kind of... What's the tactful way to put this? Are the Bury GPs bought into it? Are they all right? Yeah. There we go.
Yeah, so we work with the... Each of us is assigned to a primary care network in Bury, we all have our own areas. We get referrals from GPs, so people can go and ask in their GPs. They don't necessarily need to make an appointment with the GP to ask to be referred if they just want to ring their GP, because that's what they feel more confident doing. Their GP can refer them to us that way. Any other health professional that they're working with or any other service that they're working with, if they want somebody to do it on their behalf, anyone can refer in. If they want to do it themselves and they're quite happy to do that, they can give us a ring and refer in that way. That's probably the easiest way. They can also go onto the website and all the details are on there, but there's email links on there as well if somebody feels that they want to email in.
So
that way
it's an easy thing to access.
It's so easy. It's, you know, the whole process is the whole essence of social prescribing about it is about making it easy for people to access. So it's ridiculously easy. It's a phone call and, you know, somebody will take your details, pass them on to a link worker, and one of us will ring you back and we will work with you from there. You can, you know, it's up to people what they want. So we've got male link workers as well, so we, you know, people can ask if they would rather work with a female or they'd rather work with a male. They can do that. It's the easiest thing in the world to and made to be that way, because we know that quite often people who do want to access it are nervous about accessing it, are worried about accessing the service. So a phone call or an email is fine. On the website, our mobile numbers are on there as well, so people can actually text us. We have had people text who've just said, can you ring me and tell me more about the service?
Which is a really nice way to make a first, you know, because actually, you know, girding yourself up to ring somebody and say, I've got a bit of a problem. Mm-hmm. It's a hard thing for somebody.
Yeah. So And that's exactly it. It's about finding the easiest way. We have had people who've contacted us via the VCFA Facebook page, or we ask is that people message, don't just put it on the page. But anyway, people find it easy to get in touch with us. It's great. Just go and do it the way you want to access it, and we will work with you from that point.
And listen, like, just as a final point, like you said, it doesn't work for everybody. It's a long process. You know, there's a lot of things have to come into place for it to work. But how good does it feel 18 months later when the GP phones you up and says, remember that patient? He's just come back in and he wants off his meds.
There's those patients. There's the people who actually come back and tell us that they've done something. The community groups who feedback that somebody has done something. We've had a guy this week who's just started volunteering, and he rang up to say how amazing volunteering is, and it's really working for him. And he's not necessarily stopped taking all his medication, but he's got something, and he feels like he's on part of his journey back to where he wants to be.
Yeah.
And it's fantastic to see that, to hear that, and to know that it is working for people. And, you know, it does work.
And listen, don't just take Julie's word for it. You know, if you go onto the VCFA website, there's testimonials. You know, there's all sorts of histories about people with a variety of different backgrounds and needs who have accessed and used the service and come away with it a different person.
There is. And everyone can benefit from it. That's the big thing. It's not just about, you know, people with families can ring up, and it's not just necessarily about the person that's rang up. It could be that their mum benefits from something, their children benefit from something, and that's what it's about creating a improved health and well-being for the individual, but quite often for the rest of the family surrounding them as well.
Absolutely. Julie, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in. It's been great to see you as well. I haven't seen you for like 2-3 years. It's just ridiculous.
Pre-lockdown,
exactly. In Clarence Park, absolutely wet through.
We were
drenched. Gets a point where you can't get any damper. But yeah, thank you so much for coming in. It's been
thank
an absolute
you very much
pleasure.
For having me. Thank you.
That was Community Corner for this week. We're coming up to the end of the show. It's the top of the hour. We're going to finish off with a little bit of Boston, and then we'll have the news. There is no show next week because we are out and about. We will be doing, I think I'm doing Halloween at Number One Riverside, which will be fun. So if you want to catch up with Roach Valley Radio, come down and see us. We'll be live down there from 11 o'clock until 3. And we'll be back the week after with another guest at exactly the same slot, 1 o'clock until 2. Thank you very much for joining me. It's been a great pleasure to be back. I do apologise if it was a little bit rusty. I was kind of like the work experience guy. But yeah, thank you very much. This is Roach Valley Radio, and we're going to finish off the show with Boston. Bye-bye, everybody.